This is the day which the Lord has made. We will, man, we choose to rejoice. We choose to rejoice. And today we're talking about joy. It's on both ends here. The third Sunday in Advent. And joy has all kinds of words. People say, it's an emotion. And they say, no, it's not an emotion. It's a state of being. Well, it is technically an emotion, but it is also a state of being. Last week we talked about peace, and we talked about seek it and pursue it. To seek it out, as we mentioned Wednesday evening again, and I'm not just doing recaps of last Sunday service, but it's important as we go through this time. It said, seek it out. When you seek it out, oh yeah, I saw it. I didn't like it and I went away from it. But it says, seek it out and pursue it. That means you got to follow up. Keep going back to it and keep going after it and pursuing it. Jesus said, I leave you peace. I told Eric this morning, if I left you $50, I leave it for you. It's up to you if you want to take it or not. But when he says, I give it to you, he's placing that in your hands. And he said, I leave you peace and I give you peace. Definitely work on our part, is there not? When we talk about being a Christian, if we want to find hope and discover what hope is to us, and then we want to be hope to other people. As we seek out peace and pursue peace with others. Blessed is the peacemaker. And then joy, to discover what is joy and how do I get it and how do I hang on to that. Joy is an emotion that makes life worth living. Listen carefully. Joy is an emotion that makes life worth living in the moment. How and why does it do that? It makes it worth living in the moment because it resonates with our core identity. Oh, okay. People that are deep in their faith and Christ followers, not just saying, I'm a Christian and I don't have to follow your ways. I'm a Christian, so I have my ticket. But they say, I want to be a Christ follower. I want to be a disciple. I want to be a faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Those people are the ones that say, joy is an emotion. It makes life worth living day in and day out, regardless of what I face. And I can face that, or I can be in the moment, because it's at the core of who and what I am in Christ. We have to know that our young people, as they grow older and older and older and older, have to understand who they are in Christ. They start losing their identity and they start losing their value as a Christian. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. And again, like last week, we'll be in several different verses, but 1 Peter chapter 3 is where we'll start out today. And today's title is simply put, The Joy of Jesus. The Joy of Jesus. It too, like we talked about last week with peace, is related to a state of tranquility. I have joy. I'm tranquil. Life is good. I have peace. Oh, my life is full of tranquility. I have ease and satisfaction. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. And it says, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Church, let's latch on to that. Let's hang on to that. Who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Okay, so he doesn't promise us no suffering once you become a Christ follower. He says, but should you happen to suffer for righteousness' sake, for following good. Remember last week as we talked about peace, it said depart from evil and do good. But even if we do that, it says, you're blessed. Now, I know sometimes we think, Lord, enough blessing. I've talked about that before. God, you have blessed me enough in this manner. Could we move on to something different? It says, but do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now listen carefully. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as an evildoer, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. As Christ followers, he said, always be ready. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone, whoever asks you, for the reason, for the hope that is in you. Kisha mentioned that light of the candle from far away, over a mile away. You don't think young people can see that far? You don't think they're looking, even if they don't say, I'm looking for it, they're not looking for a bright light to attach themselves to? You see, you've just got to be careful. They may be blinded by a strobe light flashing in their eyes saying, oh, I think that's the light. We've got to beware of the enemy. Joy is a reason for our hope that allows us and prepares us to be ready, willing and able to give our testimony. Amen. We have to understand, I've got hope. Ooh, I'm young. I don't know that I could give anyone hope. You absolutely can. It allows us and prepares us to be ready to give that testimony. Now turn back to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, 9-2, and that hope is part of the reason for our story. When we give that testimony and telling our story, there's going to be people that say, how can you be joyful in the midst of death? It's hard to explain. Some people just have that and others struggle to find it. I remember driving with Eric. We were at a Free Methodist conference training session out of town, and I got the news that my nephew had been shot and killed. And Eric drove home, and we were looking through the burned woods outside of up by Tulsa. And I remember just staring out into that. And I looked at Eric and I said, Eric, I have peace about this. However it happened, whatever happened, I have peace about it. My sister, not so much. But I found peace for me. That came 2.5 years after the death of her husband as well. Coincidentally, it was 12 years ago today. The evening of our church Christmas party at our house. And my mother had called and told me that he had passed away of a heart attack. I have peace today. My sister, not so much. And I struggle with that. I struggle having peace in myself and in my spirit when others don't have that. Now, I try not to go shove it in their face, but I know in my spirit I have peace. It doesn't mean that I don't sorrow at that and cry at that and weep at that. But for different ones, we handle it differently. But I want to help you understand where this joy comes from and how we can have it. The joy of Jesus in our lives. John chapter 15, verse 9 through 12 says this. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man or no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. When we read that, It says, oh, my joy remain in you. I have spoken these that my joy remain in you. But how does his joy remain in us? Well, he says, as my Father loved me, I've loved you. So he tells us, hey, abide in my love. Keep my commandments and you will abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He says, we've got to follow his commandments, church. We have to know what those are and we have to follow those day in and day out. We have to abide in his love. We talked about this Wednesday evening and we talked about loving one another as he has loved us. And it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, Lord, I don't know that I love myself that much. Look in the mirror today and say, I love you. And start loving yourself. And I know sometimes that's tough, but I'm telling you today, start loving yourself if you don't. Because it will make a life difference for you and others. Because you can't love others if you don't love yourself. You can't love them properly the way he wants us to love, is what I'm saying. So he says, you've got to keep my commandments. You have to abide in me. Lord, I don't feel your joy. Maybe you have stepped out of his presence. And as I said the other day, he's always with us. But I'm talking about maybe we are turning away from him. And maybe we're not moving towards him. You know, I heard on the radio yesterday, the enemy has two things. He tries to get us tripped up in. And one is that you can't do it. You can't make that life change. You'll never do it. I did it. Well, he's going to be there with his foot sticking out so he can trip you up and say, see, I knew you couldn't do it, and I know you won't get back up and try it again. And he keeps us down, and he keeps us down, and he keeps us down. And next thing you know, old Gulliver is all strapped in with his little people, tie him down, and we're tied down by the enemy. But I said earlier, death has been defeated. The grave has been defeated. They put Jesus in the tomb. And when they rolled away the stone, he was no more. He'd risen. He's defeated death on our behalf. And it says, abide in my love. So if you do these things, I spoke to you so that if you do these, my joy will remain in you. But not just that, but that your joy may be full. You want me to go get some pizza boxes and explain what that looks like? Okay? The Shaq-a-roni XL Express, whatever it is. I don't know. But he's come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. He has given us his joy that it remains in us, but that our joy may be full. I'm dying of thirst. Oh, I poured one little drink in there, or one little sip. That'll barely wet my lips. I need something to drink. He says, I've got it. You love me and abide in my love, and you'll show other people my love, and you will be full of joy. You will have that joy that others can't give. Circumstances cannot give that joy. By the way, last week when we read out of John 14 is where it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world, but I give you a different type of peace. All these things tie together. It says, I'm giving you peace. In the next chapter he says, hey, I'm giving you my love. By the way, if you hang out and live and stay in my love, I've got the next best thing. I've got joy. Not just joy. Joy to its fullness. You know, my wife and I went and prayed over Laren and Dylan and Roy. And I said, man, we pray for rest. No, not that sleep you think you're going to get, because that's not coming. I said, rest that God can give you. Because that rest that you lose when you have babies, over the first couple years maybe, He'll give you rest that you need that you can't get from the sleep or the lack thereof. He'll give you a different rest. And when He gives you that rest, you're going to find peace in the midst of that rest. You're going to find joy as you look at those little eyeballs. We had the pleasure of watching Atlas last night, yesterday afternoon and last night, and what a joy. And Cindy said, boy, we're a lot older than we were when we had young kids running around the house. But she said, my gosh, what joy that child brings us. Absolutely. Don't get any ideas, Michaela. No, I'm just kidding. But we'll find joy in the things if we just take time to look. And He says, also, you're going to find my joy when you identify and look for those things that I've created as well. Abide in His love is a requirement that He says, in order to get my joy, I've spoken these things to you so that you can have my joy, so that it remains in you and it remains in you full. When we gather together, what does that do? Man, that's a refueling. That's a refreshing. That's a reconnecting every time we meet. And we get refueled on His joy. Oh, man, I thought I was starting to run low. You weren't running low. You were just misfocused. When we gather together, it refocuses us. It allows us to see one another, every single one of you. You may not be here for your benefit. You may be here for someone else's benefit to see you so that we can love on you. Psalm 16:11. I better read it because I won't remember it. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. So if we abide in Him, if we follow His commandments in the Old Testament, in the Psalm 16, He says, you'll show me the path of life. He's showing us. He's given us a design and a direction. By the way, each of our maps is not the same as the other. You all may be working on different maps than your spouse or your friend or your family members. But it says, you will show me the path of life. He says, man, when I'm in your presence, there I will find fullness of joy. It goes back into that. Abide in my love. Stay in my love. Stay in my presence. And in you will remain joy. But joy to its full. This supports the same thing. In your presence is fullness of joy. We have to be in His presence. We have to be in His presence to find that fullness of joy. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, He says, are pleasures forevermore. He's going to give us those things. As Christians, we don't have to say, we can't ever have fun again. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He'll show us the path. And He's got a specific path for us that He wants us to follow. Now Romans 15, we have two or three other verses. Romans 15, if you'll turn there with me. Romans 15, verse 7. And, you know, I was going to read just a smaller version of that, but I thought, no, the whole thing connects. It all connects. And my heading in my Bible talks about glorify God together. Romans chapter 15, verse 7 through 13 says, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made by the made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Then verse 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you. Boy, he just wants us full, does he not? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, that's an Advent message right there. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he talks about us coming together to glorify God together, to lift up his name, and to sing praises to him. I just love that. Rejoice, praise the Lord, laud him. Man. For this reason, I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Hope and joy and peace all go hand in hand. As a matter of fact, they say that's a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a part of that. All of us believers should have that as part of our makeup. And we should model that joy and peace and patience. That's just one of the parts of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Luke chapter 2. Hang in there, guys. We're almost done. Luke chapter 2. Let me just go back. Luke chapter 2 tells us about the upcoming birth of Jesus Christ. And it starts in verse 8. And it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. It says you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. An angel appearing before them, proclaiming and saying, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Go tell it on a mountain that Jesus Christ has been born. And by the way, I'm going to bring you good tidings of great joy when I tell you about what he's going to do. And what that means to you. As witnesses, this is a story we continue to pass on. The great joy that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Tidings of great joy. To who? To a select few. It doesn't say that. It says to who? It says to all people. All people. I'll close with this today in Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30, verse 4 and 5 says this: sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His. Well, there's instruction right there. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. My prayer is that if you are struggling today, that you find joy in the morning. For it says, His anger is but just a moment, but His favor is for life. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the joy that we can experience through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask today that for those that are struggling to find peace or joy, or Lord, even hope for tomorrow, Lord, that they discover it in Your Son, Jesus Christ. That we embrace the good news of the gospel. That our Savior has defeated death, defeated the grave. And provides for us great joy. And desires for us to have it to the full. God, I ask today, Father, today that those that are struggling to find that, spend time with You. For Your word says if we abide in You, You will give us that joy. And You will give it to us in its full. Will you stand and worship with us this morning?